It's week 14 of the Stairway. Mr. Just Right here behind the mic with me, as usual, through thick and thin. Bad News B-Rye. What's up, man?
Hey, Michael. How you doing, man?
I've been better. maybe we should have seen it coming, right? What do they call this? I've been hearing a lot of this since yesterday. It's Monday night, by the way. We were recording a little bit early. I think we had to get some things off our chest. We got a Thursday night game coming up, so we had to get this one on the record sooner rather than later. I've been hearing a lot of people call this the Tomlin special. Tomlin special. 18 losses when favored by a touchdown, basically 6.5 point favored or more. 18 losses since he's been head coach, which is not that far off your Harbaugh's, your Belichick's, actually. But it doesn't it just feel like this happens regularly with this team here? I mean, am I crazy or what?
No. I mean, even you look back at some of those teams that were juggernauts back when the Killer Bees, he was always good. No matter how potent the offense was, how solid the defense was, always good for one of these a year. And it's like the most frustrating thing ever. So today's kind of, for me, a little bit of a therapy session after yesterday.
So, you know, everything was looking up when we last talked. 400 yards of offense. The schedule is parting. Backup quarterbacks coming at us left and right. We got the Arizona Cardinals out of the dome, out of the sunshine, out of the heat, in a colder, sloppy, rainy Heinz Field. 2-10. They were 2-10. Coming into Pittsburgh, and they leave with a 24-10 upset. I don't even know anymore, B-Rye. Is this team good? It's not good. I don't think it's good. How bad?
They're not good.
No, it's how bad. How bad are they?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of done pretending. It's the worst case scenario, I feel like. And we talked about this earlier this year when Kenny had an injury, is we're not bad enough record-wise to affect, I think, real change in the offseason. And we're not good enough to do any damage in the playoffs if we make it there. And we're just kind of in this no man's land between those two things. And I feel like as a fan, that's sometimes the most frustrating spot to be in, because I think we all get the feeling Kenny just isn't it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. You have a classic Tomlin loss where some of the players, probably your best, most consistent player on offense all season, Jalen Warren, admits they weren't prepared. They didn't take them seriously enough. On your home field, now, granted, I don't think this Cardinals team is as bad as their record portrays. I think they played really tough at the beginning of the season without their starting quarterback when Josh Dobbs was rolling for them. But for them to come in here and just manhandle us the way they did, really, just disconcerting. Just disconcerting, B-Rye. On top of all that, we had quite a few injuries. We had a prolonged rain delay, T-storm delay, which we were down going into it. And I think we all knew we weren't coming back. So it's like our Sunday, like it got drawn out, like just torture, waiting for that game to start. We knew we're not going to come back. Two touchdowns. Come on. This team can't do that. So, B-Rye, sum up for me your thoughts, your feelings here, where you're at following this game. Again, are we overreacting? We're still 7-5, and we've got a miserable Patriots team coming up here this Thursday.
So, I think maybe to a small degree, there is some level of overreacting. There were a lot of strange things that happened this game. Injuries, like you mentioned. you know, we'll talk about the what we expect moving forward. Now that we know that we're likely not going to have Kenny for at least a couple games. So that changes things. Now, looking back at this game in particular, it really was a team effort losing this game, from the coaches to the players on special teams, offense, defense. So it was an all-around group effort. You can't really point a finger one place or the other. We kind of started the game moving the ball pretty well. I had a pretty good feeling early on. We had some good passes to Pickens. Yeah. The running game was kind of going a little bit, but still, you know, we weren't able to get in the end zone. So I was thinking, okay, well, we'll find a way to get in the end zone in the second half. And then as soon as Kenny got hurt, I just had a bad feeling. Like, you know, Mitch is going to come in. You know what he's capable of as far as turning the ball over and things like that. So I immediately got that bad feeling. And then on the very next series, Landon Roberts gets injured. Literally the last man standing at inside linebacker. Everyone else was picked up throughout the season and like been on the practice squad, been unemployed, been working at Amazon. So we lose the guy that is the communicator on defense. He's the one that calls the plays.
Third time we've lost the communicator on defense.
Yeah. That's huge. And I think this game showed how important that is, because you started to see McBride tear us apart, a lot of miscommunication. So when you lose a guy like that, it really does have a ripple down effect throughout the defense. So from there, I felt like everything just started falling apart. You had boneheaded penalties, you had questionable coaching decisions, terrible execution. Then we had strange weather. I know that's not an excuse, because that's something the Cardinals had to deal with as well. But it was just bad. I'm going to chalk it up as a Tomlin special. We'll see moving forward if we can kind of right the ship with Mitch at QB, but just try not to overact too much here, I guess.
Boy, it's hard.
It's hard not to.
It's hard. Lots of bad penalties, sloppy, unorganized penalties. Again, what was it? Not covering up the tight end, formation penalties, a couple of those. Deontay was offsides or something like that. Just I don't have it written down here, but I know there's just unforced errors as well.
Miles Killebrew, three
penalties.
Yep. This is our special teams captain with three of some of the dumbest penalties. One was a face mask penalty, which happens. One was running into the punt returner who did a fair catch. That was terrible. And then he ran into the punter. So you got, I mean, that's just kind of the way this game went.
Yeah, just a comedy of errors. Deontay Johnson celebrating like he won the Super Bowl after the garbage time touchdown, which was just the icing on the cake. And you could see it. He's like, oh, do I do this or not? He's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to celebrate. I myself won the Super Bowl.
He's more happy with himself performing than the team winning. So,
be right. You know, like I said, the schedule opened up for us. Backup quarterbacks coming left and right. The miserable Patriots coming in here on Thursday. You know, winnable games the rest of the way. The Ravens are really our own, you know, the Ravens and the Seahawks, but we can beat both those teams. We know that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I don't think any of us truly have stairway aspirations this year, but you just never know. You just got to get to the dance and see what happens. A lot of things can happen. Look at the Chiefs. Look at the Bills. I mean, the AFC might be there for the taking this year. We know we can beat the Ravens any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whenever. The Chiefs are beatable. The Bills are beatable. I think we would get lambasted by anyone coming out of the NFC, but nonetheless, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. It's still possible. We can still win out. But it again, we're just in this no man's land where we don't know if the I'm pretty sure the quarterback's not the guy. I'm pretty much ready to move on. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's look at his box score here real quick. You're right. First drive of the game, drops one in a bucket. Long pass down the field, and you say, okay, okay, if we can just see more of this, here we go, right? Here we go. Let's look at the box score here. I was at lunch with Len and my wife and Len's mother and Cindy, having a nice lunch at an establishment, a newer establishment in town here. I won't name any names. But the game started as we were kind of wrapping up, and just saw Kenny drop one in that bucket to what was it, George? Down the field.
Yeah.
Nice pass. Couple of nice passes. That offense, first drive, like you said, came out, marched right down the field. Okay. We're on to something again. Here comes another 400 yards. Snip, snap. Cardinals out of here. We got our meals, and it was honestly, I told Len, it might be the worst meal I've ever had in my life. It was as bland. First of all, cheeseburger. I don't want to even say hamburger. Cheeseburger. All the accoutrements, right? $18. Smash burger.
Oh, gosh.
Smash burger. It was mac and cheese. Big old bowl of mac and cheese. All kind of twist these in there. Shells. Looks good on the outside. Some breadcrumbs. As tasteless and as bland, B-Rai, as that Steelers offense was under Matt Canada. Just set the tone for the rest of the Sunday. We left there and shit just went south. But let's look at the quarterbacks real quick. Let's look at the quarterbacks, both quarterbacks, shall we? Kenny Pickett, 7 for 10. Mitch Trubisky, 11 for 17. Kenny had 70 yards. I was looking for the passing yards total, and I was like, that can't be right. That's too small. 70 yards passing for Kenny on 7 completions, 10 attempts. Mitch was 11 for 17, 117 and a touchdown. Both of them averaged 7 yards a throw, which isn't going to get it done either. But Kenny apparently had some type of ankle injury coming in. They had mentioned, I believe they said. But he scrambles on what was it, a third down, going for the goal line, and he gets injured. And it turns out it's a high ankle sprain. And he had tightrope surgery today. And he's out, they're saying, 2 to 4 weeks. So, Kenny, I know you said he's tough. I think he's tough. I don't think he's soft by any means. But this is the fourth time in his career he's left a game early. I believe it's the second time this year he's left a game early. It's not all on him. Obviously, our offensive line could protect him much better than they have the last 2 years. But are these injuries a concern? Are they just going to get worse going forward? Can he stay healthy? Is that factoring in, B-Rai, to how you perceive Kenny Pickett?
It's definitely noteworthy. It is a little concerning. He's not a very big guy. He has a tendency to kind of not get comfortable in the pocket, so he'll scramble out a little bit, roll into blitzers. So there's definitely some concern there. What do you do in the offseason? Do you shore up the O-line? And I think you have to give him another year with different circumstances. But, it doesn't really look like... It's hard to say what his potential is. I don't see him ever being a great quarterback. Can he be a good quarterback in the league? It's really hard to say at this point, but you have to kind of give him a shot, I think, next year, in my opinion. But I can see the argument where you just, you try to move on and cut your losses.
Yeah. They used to say, it takes 3 years to truly evaluate a quarterback. If you cut him after 2 years, you'd be losing out on your Josh Allens, your Tuas, who have kind of come into their own. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is he has one touchdown pass in his last 7 games. Now, that's certainly not all on him. I think we need a bigger picture with a new offensive coordinator. But the injuries, I think, are a concern. He's banged up quite a bit. He leaves games quite a bit. He's older to begin with. He's older than many of the starters across the league. So again, I come back to the fact that, is he already at his ceiling or near his ceiling? Like, is another year going to reveal this Kenny Pickett who was a Heisman finalist in college, and we see these, you know, glimpses of a true superstar sometimes. I don't know. I think he's going to be a fine quarterback in this league. I think he's going to be a guy you really want as your back, one of the best backups in the league. I think that's where he's at right now for me. I think if you have a chance to take an exceptional talent in a strong quarterback class like next year, you got to do it if you really like the guy. And then you have a competition for the starting job next year, but they're going to give him another year. No doubt about it. No doubt. I don't anticipate they're going to draft a quarterback. That's very un-Steelers-like to be that aggressive. Maybe they take a stab at one in the later rounds. They've got Mitch wrapped up for the next two seasons after this, right? And they have their backup kind of set. So we're getting another year of Kenny Pickett. And I think it's for sure if he misses the rest of this season, you know, they're going to think they have more to see, more to peel back there on him. But it just doesn't give me warm and fuzzy feelings because the criticisms were there. He's older, you know, raw potential, untapped potential was kind of always the question marks on him. Is he is who he kind of is. You know, he's not a prospect per se, more than he is a pro ready, they said a lot of the time, quarterback. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I thought we had a really good defense, and maybe a guy like that can take you to the stairway. But I just feel like we're going to be in for another year of limbo next year, Mirai. With all that, I feel like we're going to be right back here at this time next year, week 14, saying the same things. I just have a hard time seeing anything else than that with Kenny Pickett and this offense, sort of them bringing in some offensive guru mastermind from the Shanahan tree, the McVay tree, whatever, you know, one of these up-and-comers. Short of them totally changing the culture of this offense and the personnel, I just think it is he is who he's going to be. And a lot of these guys on the offense are going to be the same. You're going to have Deontay back most likely. You're going to have George back. Najee, not Connor, Warren. They remake the offensive line. Okay. Is that going to completely flip the script in 1 year? I don't know. So we'll see, B-Rai. I think we're in for it again. But for right now, it seems like Mitch, right, is going to be at the helm for the next month.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you finally move on from Canada. You have the game against the Bengals where the team was able to get over 400 yards. You saw good things. Kenny was a big part of that. He looked good. He threw some good deep balls. And then this game happens. I thought he started out okay, didn't do a lot, but it's just now we have to wait more than likely until next year to get a true evaluation of what does he look like without Matt Canada.
Yeah.
We really don't know. I mean, we all know Canada was a joke of an offensive coordinator, and the question really becomes how much does that impact Kenny Pickett? How much has he been holding him back? It's really hard to say. I need another year to evaluate. I would love for the Steelers to bring in an actual good offensive coordinator who has good ideas, not somebody that's, you know, has a history with Tomlin or not some local guy. Like, I want to see a mastermind offensive coordinator. I know they're not easy to come by, so it's probably not going to happen, but I do think we need one more year, in my opinion. It could be a wasted year, but you know, you're already invested in him. You're gonna enter the draft where we always do, middle of the road, pick 20, pick 23, and you really don't have franchise quarterbacks that typically fall to that area of the draft. They usually go pretty high. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but you usually lose out on the top quarterback talent there, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it can happen. Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts, what was he, second round, end of the first round for the Eagles? I mean, they're out there. They could be found. Lamar, Mahomes. I mean, these weren't top 10 picks, right? These were, I can't remember where Mahomes was taken exactly, but you can get one maybe in that range in a deep class if you got a lot of teams that don't need one. But I don't think they're going to take one that high. regardless. It just doesn't seem like them. Maybe the next year, if Kenny doesn't pan out, we'll see. But yeah, I just feel like we're in for another year of this. Next year, really, barring a drastic turnaround. Like you said, can they bring in an offensive mastermind? I don't know. I think they're more likely to bring in Frank Cignetti, who the Pitt Panthers just fired because he works in the same building, or he did. They have his number. They knew who he is. He probably dropped his resume off on Tomlin's desk on his way out from Pitt, and you know that seems more likely the Steelers. Frank Reich is a name that was bandied about locally recently. I could see that happening too, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. But I just feel like heading in the draft next year, man, every position is going to be a position of need. You look across the board, B-Rye. Quarterback, I could see him taking one. Tight end, they're going to need one after the Freiermuth era is over. That's coming to an end soon, or he's up for a new deal soon. They're going to have to decide on him. They could use another wide receiver, I think, even though they'll probably do their normal third-ish round selection there if they take one. Offensive line, of course, you need help there. Defensive line, Hayward's on the way out. I could see him taking one of them. Inside linebacker, obviously. You know, your edges are really the only thing you have figured out with TJ and Highsmith and Herbig now. Herbig also had another splash play in this one again. They need another cornerback. They could take a safety. Almost all positions, I think, are going to be up for the draft next year, and they're going to have to make some decisions on where they fill out that roster. Any final thoughts on the quarterback play here? B-Rye, I do want to point out Mitch did have the garbage time touchdown. He did not turn the ball over, which has kind of been his calling card. He has as many touchdown passes, like I said, in this one as Kenny has in his last seven games played.
Well, Mitch can get the touchdowns, but he's always good for a turnover. He did have that fumble. It was a low snap. Mason Cole's been – he had, I think, at least two low snaps this game, but the difference between Mitch and other quarterbacks is Mitch is going to fumble it, and that's kind of what happened here. So I don't think he's – I mean, he turns the ball over. I'm not a huge fan of him, but –
no,
he can win you games against what we have coming up, but he can lose you games too. So,
and like I said, he's signed through 2026. He'll be a free agent, so he's locked in sort of long term with his team as our backup. I wouldn't put that fumble on him. That was a worm burner of a snap by Cole. Mitch probably could have just fell right on top of it. Looks like he tried to pick it up in that slimy weather. That was probably the better call. That pretty much did put the icing on the cake there for the team with that turnover. So Cole had a horrible game. They need a center bad. They need a cornerstone in the middle of the line. He's been miserable. He was okay last year, but this year, just bad. So we'll see. A lot of fans also calling for Rudolph. If we lose Thursday because of a couple bad turnovers by Trubisky, that very well could happen. Trace McSorley on the practice squad now, former Penn Stater. So there was some talk about maybe Matty Ice, maybe Tom Brady. Maybe they could poach Joe Flacco from the Browns practice squad if they demoted him. Lots of talk out there. Trace McSorley is who we end up with. So hopefully you don't get to the point of seeing him the rest of the way. We'll see. Mason was inactive, I believe, for this game, so he will be active Thursday. And who knows? You might see him. It's very possible. So there were some reports. Be right that the Steelers were possibly looking at making a quarterback change following the Browns game. What do you think of that?
Oh, I did not hear. So you mean a few weeks ago they were thinking about moving away from Kenny?
Yeah, it was on the depot, Steelers depot. I saw.
Oh.
So
yeah,
there's some rumblings. It's going to be an interesting offseason for sure for this team. Now, whether or not they make a move at quarterback, Jerry Dulac said this, that they had some discussions. After the Cleveland game, there was discussions that maybe a change needed to be made at the position because of the way he had been struggling for those games leading up to Cleveland. And that was on a DVE morning show. Dulac said that. Now, I'm not a fan really of any of the local beat reporter, so take it with a grain of salt, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm with you. I have a hard time seeing them moving on from him, especially with the injury now cutting his season short and with the new offensive coordinator coming in. I don't see him spending high draft capital yet, but we'll see. Running backs in this game. Najee Harris plodded along, 16 carries, 63 yards. A decent run or two from him, but nothing too outstanding. Jaylen Warren averaged 6.6 yards a carry. He had 9 totes for 59 yards, a long of 18. Still not getting the ball enough, I would say. Mitch had a couple scrambles for 5 yards. Kenny had a 3-yard on the one that he got hurt on, I believe. Anything to say about the runners?
I think the game started out okay with the running game. Both runners made some plays, moved the ball for first downs, and then it just kind of stalled. And I agree with you. Jaylen needs more than 9 carries. I mean, he's been I feel like a few weeks ago every week he was just getting more and more confident and just running with some of the best running backs in the league. He looked great, and then they aren't giving him more carries, and it's just frustrating. Because he's one of our most explosive players. For him to get 9 carries and let me see here how many and 1 reception, like, yeah. There's no excuse for that.
No, and you got to think teams are looking at him more. Get them both on the field at the same time. We've seen that once or twice this year. He definitely needs to get going, get more in a groove. I think he's been their best player all season, consistently, on offense. He brings it. He's a spark plug, gets his team fired up, fights for yards. He's quick. He's decisive. He can catch the ball. He did have a little bit of a blunder on one attempted pass that almost led to an interception, but with the sloppy weather, it's hard to blame him on that one. But I do want to see him get more touches. I think he's a dynamic player. I want to see him scheme up some more screens, some traditional screens with him, get him into open space, and let him do his thing. I think he's the best player on this offense this season, game in and game out. I definitely want to see more carries from him, get him more involved early and often. But with his comments about the team's preparation, maybe he'll be in the doghouse now. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Pass catchers. George Pickens, 4 catches, 86 yards. He had that nice long one of 38, 5 targets. Deontay Johnson, 4 catches, 33 yards, 5 targets, 1 Super Bowl victory in this one. Touchdown. Deontay Johnson wins the Super Bowl. What was that Super Bowl? What was that Super Bowl celebration? B-Rai, was that like a clay shooting type thing? Was he shooting money? Was he shooting money out of the air? Did you happen to see exactly what that was?
I kind of watched it. I literally just went to disgust and like didn't fall through the rest of it. So I'm not sure what he was doing. It was just embarrassing.
I think he threw like a clay, you know, how you skeet shoot with clay. I think he threw like a clay pigeon, and I think he shot it down with money, I think.
With money, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
That's creative, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's got a ring to show for now, so yeah. There you go. Pat Fryer.
Yeah, he's every week just something.
Something,
with him.
Something. Every week it's something, yeah. Pat Fryer moved 3 catches, 29 yards. He looked like he was going to be more involved again, and 5 targets for him, so they spread the ball around a little bit. A-Rob had 3 catches, 19 yards on 3 targets. Najee had a couple catches for 14. Calvin Austin had one. I think Kenny missed him in the end zone on the scramble he got injured on as well. Connor Hayward, nothing. He had a couple targets. And Jaylen Warren had 1 catch for negative 4 yards. And we just talked about how we want to see more there. Anything of note on the ball catchers?
Georgia looked good. Deontay, still not enough plays. Celebrating at the end there in garbage time, scoring the touchdown. Pat needed to be involved a little bit more, I think. It took a while for him to get involved. He should have been another focal point of the game plan here. Not sure where he was early on in the game, but Definitely need him more moving forward because he's really our number three receiver. You could argue even, you know, number two, number one. He's definitely one of our best pass catchers. They need to use him more.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing Calvin Austin involved a little bit more as well. You know, we joked a lot about the jet sweeps heading into the year, but I think they could get creative using him and his speed a little bit more on offense just to keep teams on their toes when he's out there. So we'll see. It's the same cast of characters involved every week. It just seems like there's just so much meat being left on the bone with these guys. You look at the truly functional offenses around the league and numbers wise, I mean, they just obliterate us on paper. So
yeah, why not take more deep shots with Austin? He's got the speed. You've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
We need a coordinator who just kind of like schemes those things and makes that part of the plan and forces it into happening on the field.
Yeah.
I just, you know, get you stretch the offense, get it to your top weapons and just like ultra target them. Get them the ball. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've seen it from him. You know, we've seen a couple Steelers alumni come out and say, keep it simple. Ben, Chris Hoke, I think have both come out and said, you know, you just got to simplify things, keep it in front of you, keep ahead of the chains, ahead of the sticks, whatever it is. I still don't know. Take more shots on first down, move the ball down the field like you did at the beginning of the last game. You know, attack, attack, attack. The best defense is a good offense sometimes. And when you have the skill on defense, the more you can keep them on the sidelines, the better. So same old story this week, B-Rye. Same old story. Special teams real quick. I do want to point out Godwin Igbubuike had a little flub up on one of the kick returns. Chris Boswell missed, I believe, only his second field goal of the year, which didn't really matter in the long run, but did kind of set the tone for the rest of the day. Presley Harvin, I think, relatively error-free. He had four punts, averaged 44.8, and two inside the 20 for him, so nothing we can hang on your boy Presley there. Special teams-wise, though, anything else you want to add?
We already talked about the Miles Killebrew penalties. Those were just crippling. Yeah. Very, very bad penalties that I think kind of summed up the way the day went. So you can't have that happen. It was definitely a game of, I felt like, again, with the penalties and such, it created the bad field position game. So that definitely hurts, especially when you have an offense like ours who has trouble scoring, has trouble getting the yards. So that's definitely a sore issue here with special teams.
Let's move on to the defense. Michael Walker, Michael, led the team in tackles, 10 total, 7 solo, 1 for a loss. Not terrible, but he kind of got picked apart in that 99-yard drive the Cardinals had after the failed fourth and goal, which let's go back to that real quick, B-Rye. I don't mind them going for that, and that was with Mitch in there. That was right after the Kenny scramble down there to get him down there, and Kenny went out. Mitch came in, shotgun.
Yeah.
Now, this particularly hurts when you see teams like the Eagles and some other teams where it's automatic. If you're there, you're going to score. And that's just so disconcerting. And then you get Najee. He's done this a couple times now this year, just fail to get that conversion, whether it's a two-point conversion. When you really need that, you know, 6 inches, 1 foot to get a touchdown. But then to see them march right down the field, Walker got picked on quite a bit there. The McBridal party, they called us. He was obnoxious, just abusing us. Brought back feelings of yesteryear, B-Rye, when tight ends would just abuse us. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it really did. You know, losing our top three inside linebackers, this is what happens. It kind of does remind me of the last couple of years when we didn't have even a decent starting inside linebacker. So it's going to be rough. I don't know what their plan is, but I don't think Michael Walker's the answer. He, not only in coverage, but he's. I don't think his communication level is up to par with what we need there. And then he takes some weird angles. He was responsible for a couple of those really long runs later in the game. So It's tough. Hopefully we can bring some of bring Pokemon in here, or Miles Jack. Hopefully he's ready, because we're gonna need those guys.
Miles Martinez and Blake Jack. Right? I like to mix their names up. I think they sound better that way. So we'll see. B-Rai, we got those guys. I think you're going to see some playing time this week, Pokemon and Miles. So let's see what they got, right? Let's see what they got. But I'm not impressed with Walker really at all. He might be a fine backup, but you don't want him out there starting. But what else can you do? We thought inside linebacker was going to be a position of depth, and we needed every last one of
them. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's tough. Highsmith, 8 tackles. He really showed up in this game after a little drought. 1.5 sacks, couple hits on the quarterback, tackle for loss. Nice game from Alex. Don't you agree?
Yeah. He looked really good. Like we talked about last week, he was getting the pressures. This game he got the pressures, and then he finally got some sacks. So it's good to see. He's working his tail off. He's without a high sack total, he's not really getting the respect he deserves. I think he's a very good edge rusher.
Mark Robinson had 8 tackles, 4 solo. TJ, 6, 3 solo, half a sack, pass defense. Nice little game from TJ. Injury concern, what happened? It looks like he was dead for a minute, like his season was over, but is he okay? I'm not sure.
I don't know what was up there. Maybe some cramps. There's the one play where he kind of got tackled when he was going after Kyler Murray. And then I'm not really sure. He wasn't really on the injury report that I've seen.
He had some interesting comments about the NFL maybe having something out for him. A little interesting tidbit for TJ there. Might give him some more attention. He said he's being held every play, which I think every edge rusher is probably held most of the time. But obviously you need to hold on to TJ a little bit more. But I'm interested to see if he gets any more calls going his way. I'm going to guess not after the comments like that. Minka, was nice to see him back, although he didn't splash too much. He definitely is going to help going forward for sure. He had 5 tackles, 4 solo. Usually he's at the top of this list when he plays. KZ, 4, 3 solo. Joey Porter Jr., I do want to pause on him for a minute. He had 4 tackles, 2 solo. Did a nice job shutting down Hollywood Brown, but a couple of missed tackles from him. So that's something we know he's got to clean up, but he did a good job against supposedly their top receiver. I mean, their wide receiver group doesn't inspire a lot of confidence for sure, and we've seen enough of Hollywood to know what he's all about. We got a pretty good read on him, but still nice to see Joey do that. But he had a couple of missed tackles too, I noticed, that did not help. Loudermilk had 3 tackles, 2 solo. Trenton Thompson, same thing, 3, 2 solo. Landon Roberts, for all the more, he played 3 and 1 solo. Lario, 3 assists. Killebrew, 2. Levy Wallace, 2. Armon Watts, 1 assist, 1 solo. James Pierre, 1 assist, 1 solo. Keanu Benton, 2 tackles, 1 solo. A nice stalwart of a game from him as well. Still want to see more Keanu. Cam had 1 solo tackle. Nick Herbig had 1 tackle for loss, another splash play for Nick on his film for his rookie year. Rodney Williams had an assist on special teams, and Marcus Golden got a hit on a quarterback against his former team. Anything else you want to add on defense?
Not really. I guess you could say definitely like the D-line depth there. Armon Watts looked pretty solid. Benton, I thought, had a really good game. He had a bunch of pressures. He had a pass deflection. The one play he blew up the center and tripped up Murray, which created that one fumble, and Connor unfortunately did recover it, but he looked like a man out there. So he's just continuing his really good rookie season.
Yeah, that's another thing, that fumble. It's just a game that if something could have went wrong, it did, and not recovering that fumble, it looked like we had a good shot at it, just didn't. James Connor, I do want to give a shout out to him real quick. 100-yard game for him, a couple touchdowns in his return home. So always rooting for James Conner. Always rooting for James Conner. He had a lot of tough yards, a lot of just reminiscent runs, very upright, very bruising runner. Nothing flashy from him usually, but he's a guy you can lean on. It's good to see him have a nice long NFL career following his Steelers tenure, and obviously still a very popular name in the Pittsburgh area. He had a lot of fans out there. And credit to the fans, by the way, who stuck around after the lengthy, lengthy delay that we had there. Two delays, actually, right? They paused play twice during the game. So kudos to all the fans who stuck around, even though we were down several scores at that point, and the writing was probably on the wall. I'm just looking here at my notes, B-Ride, make sure I didn't miss anything. Just a shit show. Just an absolute shit show of a game against a bad team at home. So just puts a damper on things. But we have another shitty team, maybe even shittier than this one, B-Ride. And it feels good to say this. The New England Patriots fucking suck. And they're coming in here Thursday on a short week. They have some injuries of their own. Their top running back is banged up. I don't think he's going to play in this one. I think some of their receivers are down as well. So they have some injury concerns. But before we get to the Patriots, it's Monday, so we don't have a full picture quite yet. Obviously, Kenny's going to be out with his tightrope surgery. But what else are we looking at on the injury front?
So you got E-Rob. He has the groin injury. I didn't really hear too much detail on it. I feared that it was like with how quickly they rolled him out. I had some fear that, but he's questionable. So hopefully that's a good sign that he, if he doesn't play this game, maybe he'll be back the following week. Minka, he actually has a broken hand that he played with throughout the game. So that's not going to hold him up. He's still expected to play. They'll probably just put a cast on it and he can go about his business.
Is it a club hand?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can definitely use that.
I don't know though, but he can make splash plays on the ball. That might hinder some of his ability. He's going to play, but you got to think that might take away just a part of his game of making plays on the ball. But club hand, on the other hand, great foreign weapon. Could maybe get some extra punch on a fumble, maybe cause a fumble with that club hand, maybe knock somebody out with it. What do you think?
I'd love to see it. I think he's very much due for a big play like that.
Yeah, he is.
And also we have Isaac Siamala. He has a shoulder injury. He's questionable to play. Montrevious Adams, I think he was close to playing last week, so he's supposed to play this week. So it'll be nice to get him back at the rotation. Maybe give Hayward a couple more breathers. And then we have James Pierre with a questionable tag with a shoulder injury. So really, you know, it's that time of year where no one's fully healthy, no team's fully healthy. So we're seeing it. Definitely a beat up team, but you know, most of our stars are still ready to go. So maybe we're more fortunate than some teams.
Benton and was limited with an oblique, and this is an estimation, by the way, because this is Monday for a Thursday game. Mason Cole also estimated as limited with a neck injury, B-Rye, which I can only assume because his head is lodged firmly up his own ass. Not a good season for Mason Cole.
No.
We need that center. We need that Jeff Harding, Damani Dawson. What do you think?
I think that's got to be one of the priorities this offseason.
Pouncey, Webster, Hardings. The list goes on and on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's decades and decades of top-notch centers. We need that anchor, someone who, I mean, hopefully he's, you know, hiking it to Kenny for the next 10 years. But, you know, that's very much in question at this point.
So we got the Patriots. Looks like Zappe is the quarterback. Now, they got shut out right against the Chargers at home here. So their offense is equally as uninspiring as ours. Ramondre Stevenson down with an ankle. Looks like he was out of the last game. So it looks doubtful he's going to play. Pop Douglas. Is that his nickname? Pop. Demario Douglas, a rookie. He might be questionable for this one as well. He missed the last game. So just a quarterback carousel there for the Patriots. They really don't have one at all between Mac Jones, Zappe. They got Malik Cunningham in the mix, who they don't seem to want to lean on. Is it going to be Zappe, B-Rye? Is that who we got to look out for here?
I believe so. They also brought up, I really don't have his name in front of me. I think he's a more of an athletic quarterback. I can't remember his name, but he's someone who I wouldn't be shocked to see them use him in certain packages, because really, like, what's it going to hurt? This is one of the worst offenses you'll ever see. With Ramondre Allen, I should say that. Because with him in, he's a quality running back. Without him, you're dealing with Ezekiel Elliott, who I think we know who he is at this point in his career. They have Hunter Henry. They have actually like Pop Douglas as a move the chains kind of guy. He's a good slot guy. But if he doesn't play, that's another weapon missing. Really, it's just, I mean, it's a 2-10 team, so that's kind of what you got here.
Sounds familiar. Kayshawn Boutte also did not participate in their practice estimate. So Ramondre, Boutte, and Pop Douglas all out. So that's some of their most talented offensive performers there. Malik Cunningham, I think, is the name you're looking for. The athletic quarterback who we thought maybe they would play in some of this mess, but we'll see. Juju coming back, obviously, another reunion here this week. Revenge game, perhaps. He was also limited. So is Devontae Parker, estimated as limited as well, and Zeke. But all those guys, I think, will probably play. Dietrich Weiss, decent defensive lineman with an illness as well, did not participate for the Patriots I'm looking at here. I don't know, B-Rye. I'm going to predict the Steelers win this one somehow. In a Mitch Trubisky resurgence. I'm going to predict 2 touchdown passes from Mitch in this one, and I think the Steelers get the win. So with that being said, I don't know if I picked a game right this entire year when it comes to Steelers. So if I'm saying they're going to win, you can chalk up another L. What do you think, Eli?
I wish we recorded this after your picks thing, because I would have just went with what Len says, because I think he's undefeated this year. If I just trying to think how Len thinks, maybe he would go with the Steelers this game.
He would. And he picked the Steelers this week too, I'll say. But what he's going to say when we record tomorrow is that we're down in the Steelers. It's doom and gloom. Classic rebound game. You think they're done. You think they suck. And they pull one out. The defense will probably score a touchdown in this one. And the Steelers will flub their way to like a 13-6 or 16-10 classic score victory in this one.
Yeah. I mean, for as bad as the Steelers offense has been, the Patriots offense has been worse, and their leading rusher's not in this game. So it's going to be low scoring. They just got a shutout last week. So, I mean, this is really bad. They're a team trying to go for, I don't know, I don't want to say trying to, but it looks like they're going for that top pick so that Belichick has his franchise quarterback again. It's going to be low scoring. I don't think the Steelers have won a game more than one score, more than the other team in, like, I don't know, it's probably been a year or so. So it's going to be, I would say, within about 6 points.
Yeah.
But let's go with we'll go with like 17-9 or something like that.
Okay.
We'll go 17-9.
Wouldn't you just love to blow a team out, just wipe them off the face of the earth again? When's the last time that's even happened? I can't even remember. This is just where we're at. I feel like we have all these studs on defense and we're just wasting them away.
Yeah.
Because it's putrid offense. And by the time the offense comes around again, all these guys on defense are going to be over the hill and ready to move on. I don't know, B-Rye. It's a tough time. The Penguins are mid at best. The Pirates are sitting around doing nothing. The Steelers are just, like I said, they're mid at best on their best day. I feel like they're mid. And it's just, you can't get too high or too low, and I feel like that's just, it's a frustrating place to be as a fan. You know, we're going to miss out on a lot of top prospects again, because we'll be in the mid to the back of the first round. And I just feel like we're setting ourselves up for disappointment because this team really just isn't a threat. But I feel like if there was a year to get it done, this might be one where some of these top teams just seem to be a little bit off the mark this year. So we'll see. We will see. B-Rad, we got a big weekend coming up. Lots of food coming. We're going to watch some other football teams play. We'll get our Steelers mess out of the way on Thursday. Clear the runway for some football action at Matty Funkhauser's place. Looking forward to that. I'll see you down there for sure. But anything else you want to add here? Week 14, B-Rad. George Pickens, obviously, week 14. But the infamous number 14, Neil O'Donnell, always comes to mind. So I don't think of this as a very fond week that I like number 14 in Steelers history. Lima Swede, I believe, also number 14. Right? Not a lot of good 14s out there. Anything else, B-Rad, for the good of the show?
Definitely, like I mentioned, glad we have a Thursday game to get it over with. Hopefully we right the ship. We are currently in the number 5 spot, so yeah. we're the top wild card team.
We're sniffing around, yeah, for sure.
Can we hold on to that with Mitch at quarterback? I don't know, but you know, it's still a decent schedule. This game, one of the easier games. We have Gardner Minshew the following week. We'll probably lose that one, and then got a mixture of teams afterwards that we'll get to in the coming weeks. But it's there. Can still. We do it with Mitch? I don't know, but I hope they at least make it interesting. Hopefully Kenny comes back in two or three weeks so that we can get a better analysis of what kind of quarterback he is without Canada. That's kind of what I'm looking for here, but more than anything, I'm looking forward to football day. Can't wait to hang out with you guys. We're going to eat so much pizza. We're going to eat some pasta on Sunday. I was actually over at Maddie's on Saturday, and my wife and him were putting some pasta together, hanging out, eating some pizza. So we're ready to go.
Absolutely. So we'll see you there Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. Saturday and Sunday. I'll be at both.
You're spending the night Saturday? Are you going home and coming back?
I'll go home and come back. I live 0.7 miles from Maddie.
Well, then
house.
you can just stay. You can hear the baby crying.
I literally walked my son to Matt's house on his little, it's like a little bicycle that I push. So I walked it to Matt's house and walked in and, we just started making pasta and eating pizza.
I've never seen one of these bicycle contraptions before. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Must be an urban thing you can use in the urban sidewalks, nicely paved sidewalks down there.
Oh, yeah. Area.
All right. So we're both picking the Steelers to win. Everybody, let's not overreact. Maybe Mitch is the franchise quarterback they thought he was all those years ago, and he just needs that opportunity again. We'll see. Patriots suck, but so do the Cardinals. We'll see you all back here in week 15 for Bad News B-Rise. Mr. Just Right. Here we go, Steelers.